ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Chatan number 12. So we'll recite text number 13 and 14.
Adveshta sarva bhutana maitra karna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukakshami संतुष्टः सततम् योगी यदात्मा दृढनिश्चयः मय्यर्पितमनो बुद्धिर् यो मद्भक्तसमे प्रियः।
One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So last time we were discussing Adveshta, isn't it? Adveshta sarva bhutana. So we'll try to discuss two three qualities today. So these are a list of wonderful qualities of devotee. So he is a friend to all living entities, maitra karuna evacha. In this world, nobody, with me, telephone. In this world, even those whom we consider as our friends, cannot be our friends always. Because we can see that the friendship is somehow separated either by disagreement or by destiny or by death. And friendship doesn't last long in this world. Sometimes even those whom you consider to be your best friend cannot understand you or cannot understand your needs. There has been misunderstanding amongst those whom were considered once upon a time the best friends in this world. So miscommunication, misunderstandings, especially in this day and age, needless to say. So it's very difficult to have a friend who can totally understand you and can help you, especially at the time of need. And amongst all the times of need, the greatest hour of need is the death. And no one can be your friend at the time of death. Because every individual has to deal with his own or her own death. And one has to face that situation. That is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that he is the friend of all living entities. Because he is in the heart of everyone as Antaryami, Super Soul. And he is a very dear friend of everyone. So, in this world a living being can also be a good friend of somebody, provided he helps one to remember Krishna. Then he can be considered a friend. Otherwise nobody can be a friend in this world. Srila Prabhupada says how there are so many politicians and party people who try to pose as a friend of society to win the popular votes of the people. But nobody can be a true friend in this world. Because nobody can save us at the time of death. So a devotee becomes the actual friend of all the people of the world. So the word Suhritam Sarva Bhutanam is not only used for Krishna, it is also used for devotees. Yeah. And most importantly, devotees become friends because they have no ulterior motives. Ideally speaking, that is the meaning of a devotee. Yeah. A devotee is not supposed to befriend you for any ulterior purpose, such as money. I should not be your friend just because you are a moneyed man. I should not be your friend because tomorrow I can come to you for some favor. You are a big politician, I can come to you, you can do something for me. Then I am not a devotee. A devotee actually, without any reservation, distributes mercy to all the living beings, not with some ulterior motive. So when ulterior motive is not there, then the friendship can be actually thick. In fact, the friendship we speak amongst devotees is very vividly explained in the scriptures. How actually devotees help one another and save one another at the time of dire need. And how devotees actually share Krishna is explained to Krishna himself. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, mat chitta mat gata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cham. He says the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me and their lives are always devoted to me, he says. And they derive great joy and satisfaction by conversing amongst one another about me. So this is the life of a devotee, and devotees derive a very great joy in that. And in this way they help remember one another. What is this activity of trying to help one another remember Krishna? If you carefully observe, Prabhupada explains, this is like the pilots, when they are on land, they come together and they discuss the strategies and they discuss the possible dangers and the pitfalls and all kinds of risks that they might have to take when they are up in the air. And they also talk about different strategies by which the plane can escape the danger of being shot or whatever. So they converse amongst themselves, they help one another, they give their ideas and share their ideas, share their realizations. But once the plane is up in the air, then everyone is an individual. What it actually means is, at the time of death, every one of us as an individual soul have to face our own karma. You just think for a moment that we will be out of this body as a naked soul alone, and we have to face our own karma. Based on whatever karma bag we are carrying, good and bad, and we are answerable to God at the time of death. As long as we are in this body, we can decide, I want to go this way or that way, I want to do this or do that. But once the death comes, finished. Now you have come out of the body and then you have no other choice after that. Then everyone is alone and one has only Krishna with them. And Krishna is the only friend. That is why devotee is considered the best friend, because a devotee helps us to especially prepare ourselves for death and for the life after death, which is actual life. If you carefully observe what is actual life, the current life which we are leading is an illusory life, which is like a flash in eternity. It's just like a tiny flash in eternity. All the different kinds of activities that we do, different kinds of dresses we wear, different kinds of talks we talk with people, different kinds of relationships that we cherish, different kinds of roles and goals that we set and achieve in life. All these things will become null and void at the time of death. That is why Shakespeare, in one of his writings, says that this world is like a drama stage, he says. All of us are doing a drama. So we are all drama actors, playing different roles in this world. Like every one of you here, you are all playing the role of a child for some time, isn't it? And then when you grew up, then you play the role of a husband. And then you play the role of a father. Similarly, somebody plays the role of a daughter, and then plays the role of a wife, and then a mother, and then grandmother, grandfather. We play different roles in this life. Such a drama stage, we play different roles. And we set different goals very seriously. And then later on when you grow up, you understand all these roles, goals which we played. All these are simply like names, string of names, when we are about to leave this body. So, the reality is, the soul is eternal, and soul has a relationship with Krishna. That's reality. And all these temporary things, they are so powerful in drowning us in illusion, that people very thoroughly identify with them. So, your real friend is one who actually wakes us up from this drama, and he says, enough of your drama, now we wake up to reality. That's a real friend. Of course, we cannot get off from the roles, we have to play some role. But when one is awakened, then immediately one strikes a relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. Just like you see a lotus which is floating in the midst of muddy pool of water. So you may wonder how this lotus is so beautifully blossoming in the midst of muddy pool of water. And how does it remain so fresh? You find that the lotus has its roots under the ground from where it gets its nourishment. You can see that. Similarly, a devotee gets his nourishment from the spiritual world. He gets his nourishment from Krishna, like that. And being a devotee of Krishna, such a devotee actually spreads good fortune for everyone. That is why in the Bhaktirasama Sindhu explains, the very first thing what happens in devotional service is kleshagni, mitigation of distress, the very first thing. And second thing is shubhada, all auspiciousness comes in the life of a person. So, real friend is one who actually brings all auspiciousness to our lives. If you see in our sampradaya, there have been many great friends. Like Narottama Das Thakur talks about Ramachandra. Ramachandra Sangam again, Narottama Das. So he cherishes his friendship with Ramachandra, with whom he would always discuss Krishna Katha. Similarly, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya were very great friends. They were such great friends. In friendship, there are different levels of friendship. There may be friendship which is very respectful friendship. There may be very loving and respectful friendship. There may be very loving friendship. And there may be very spontaneous friendship. There may be such thick friendship. And it becomes thick, and just like the love of the devotees of Krishna also, like a sugar candy example we give, isn't it? Thin sugar solution, and then it becomes thicker, it becomes like viscous, and it becomes like candy, then it becomes rock candy. Similarly, in friendship also there can be thicker and thicker relationships. So Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu are such thick friends. So sometimes they tease one another, they ridicule one another, you see that. That thick friendship. But you will see that in their friendship always Krishna is the center of all their friendship, not some mundane talk. You find even in joking, Krishna is the center of their jokes. Like you find when Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur go chasing after Jagai and Madai, when they return back, Haridas Thakur comes and tells Advaita Acharya, "Do you know today I went with this Nityananda, and we both went to preach, but he wanted to preach to these two drunkards, Jagai and Madai. And they chased us, and we ran and ran. And because Jagai and Madai were too stout to chase after us, they couldn't chase us. Somehow our lives were spared." He was telling. So Advaita Acharya was telling, why are you surprised about this? If you are associating with a madman, you should be ready to face any danger in your life. And he said, the drunkards always associate with drunkards, he said. Like Jagai and Madai are drunkards, and this Nityananda is always drunken in the holy name, isn't it? So he is a madman who is drinking the holy name, and they are mad people drinking liquor. So these drunkards are like drunkards to deliver the drunkards. So you will see that even in their joke they always keep Krishna, the holy name, as the center. So there are many very wonderful pastimes between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya. One time Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were taking prasad in the house of Advaita Acharya. After a long time, they hadn't eaten for a very long time. So they were very hungry. So Advaita Acharya had made a very big feast for all the Vaishnavas. So the big leaflet was completely full with varieties and varieties of preparations. And Lord Chaitanya, when he saw that, he began telling Advaita Acharya, "See, today I am not planning to eat anything. Please give me only boiled vegetables." So Advaita Acharya said, "No, no, my dear Lord, what are you saying? Boiled vegetables? Today you have to forget all your breath and tough. Whatever I am going to offer you, you should eat today." And he brought all types of sabjis and all kinds of preparations. And he made two big plates for Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu looked at the plate and he understood what all were there. He took a look at all the items and he said, "What good is this food? So little. We are so hungry and coming after a long time and you are offering us so little food. What is the use of this food?" Advaita Acharya said, "What I say, Nityananda, I am a poor Brahmin. Whatever I could make, I have made. Be happy with what I am serving you. Eat it." And Nityananda Prabhu started gulping down eating, and then he said, "This is no good. This is too little for me." And he took some rice and he threw it on the ground. And the rice jumped off the ground and touched Advaita Acharya's feet. And Advaita Acharya started dancing happily. So he said, "Because the rice thrown by this madman has touched my body, now I have also become a madman." He said. So there is a joke like this. So of course we cannot joke with anybody like that unless we have very thick relationship. So there are different kinds of friendship. But a real friend is one who actually brings us closer to Krishna. The six Goswamis in Vrindavan, they used to always come together and they would discuss Krishna Katha together and sing about Krishna together, chant about Krishna together, take prasadam together. In this way they would delight in each other's association, remembering Krishna like that. That is actually the association of devotees. Sometimes people hang around in the name of associating with other devotees, and often they get into a mood of loose behavior with not Krishna in the center rather than some prajalpa. And if you ask them, they will say, "Oh, you know, great seniors tell us that we should have loving relationships." That is actually not loving relationship. The loving relationship is centered around Krishna only. If Krishna is not the center, it is not relationship. It is simply prajalpa. Sometimes you find under the trees in villages, there is some kind of dais put up and people sit there and talk. You seen that? Sometimes. Talk about politics, they talk about this, talk about that. It happens with devotees also sometimes. Like one Maharaj was telling, like in Mayapur is such a big place, there are so many trees there, so many nice places are made for sitting. Sometimes the devotees come together and they sit under the tree and then they start talking, you know, about this politics and that politics, what about this problem, that problem. So he said there should be no place for sitting. The devotees should all the time either be in the temple or in the ashram doing some activity. Otherwise, coming together is good when Krishna is the center. If Krishna is not the center, it is simply useless talk. And for us, it's very easy to go down to mundane consciousness in this material world. We may begin with Krishna and end with mundane talk. That's a very great likelihood. Then we are actually not friends. Friends are actually supposed to remind one another of Krishna. So often, people have a notion that if you talk about Krishna, then sometimes people may say, "Oh, you talk only about Krishna, you don't talk anything else." Will life not be boring if you talk only about Krishna? Sometimes people say, "Oh, it is too much." Or sometimes people may call you a pure devotee syndrome, that this person doesn't talk anything but Krishna. He takes the role of a pure devotee, always he talks about Krishna only. So one time when Mataji asked this question in Bombay to Radhanath Swami, "Maharaj, whenever I speak about Krishna, people say I am in pure devotee syndrome. Maharaj, what is a syndrome? When the doctors use this term, he asked. No, this is a term used only by devotees. Pure devotee syndrome. But Maharaj said, no problem. It's a good syndrome for you. Remain in that syndrome. It is better to be on the safer side to speak about Krishna always and be criticized by others that this fellow talks only about Krishna, rather than to be moderate and practical, talking all nonsense and going to hell. If you are talking little excess about Krishna, it's not a problem. Only the problem arises when you talk other things too much. So, we need such friendship. It's very rare. It's very rare to get a good friend who can, whose association can inspire us to think about Krishna. It's not that Prabhupada was never humorous. Prabhupada was also humorous. A lot of humor Prabhupada used to give. But all his humor was centered around Krishna. Sometimes some devotee asked Prabhupada. Actually, Prabhupada's life was full of teachings. Every moment, Prabhupada's life was full of teachings. Like one time, some devotee asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, these mosquitoes are so much disturbing in the material world. Are there mosquitoes in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada smiled and said, if there are, they all are chanting Hare Krishna. He said, So this was his answer. So even in his humor, Prabhupada always remembered Krishna. In every one of the talks, while walking, going, coming, one time Prabhupada was sitting in the car in the front. Some unknown newcomer was sitting in the back side of the car. Probably he was following some other organization. Probably he was curious to see what the Swamiji is going to speak in the temple. So he was sitting in the back side. So he extended his neck and spoke to Prabhupada a little loudly. So Swamiji, you are a sannyasi. So you must be probably feeling like as if you are sitting in a bed of thorns, isn't it? Because you have to follow so many austerities and all. So controlling the sex urge must be as difficult as, you know, sitting in a bed of thorns for you people, isn't it? And then Prabhupada said, even if you put me in a room full of naked women, I will not be disturbed, he said. When this man heard it, he said like this. He was shocked, taken by shock. Actually, Prabhupada wanted to give him a shock. Sometimes Prabhupada would do that. Then he proceeded to the temple and he was standing in front of the deities. He was praying. So one devotee asked Prabhupada, he was so courageous to ask Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what were you praying? So Prabhupada said, I was praying to Srimati Radharani that I may never fall down. He said. So the devotee said, Prabhupada, but you are always courageous. You say that you have no fear. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is because I am always praying to her like this. He said. So, Prabhupada's life was full of lessons. Every activity he did, every movement he did. So, this is actually a real friend. So, Prabhupada used to sign, as you are aware, will be sure, used to sign. So, this is actually the meaning of Suhridam Sarvabhutana. A life of a devotee is like an open book. And that book is full of valuable lessons to learn. And anyone who comes across the life of a devotee and associates with a devotee should also benefit in some way by getting some Krishna consciousness from the devotee. And a friend should be able to speak frankly the truth instead of just pampering our senses. Be able to speak frankly. Like we were in Mayapur recently, His Holiness Sachinandan Swami was giving a lecture there. So he was basically speaking on these three things, Jivadaya, Namiruchi and Vaishnava Seva. He spoke the whole lecture. At the end of the lecture he said, so my dear devotees, now I am going to conclude my lecture by telling you something that is very painful to you, he said. Then all the devotees started sitting at the edge of the seat. What is that? But then he said, so don't feel bad that I am giving my concluding note with a painful thing. I will also give you a suitable medicine to alleviate the pain. Don't worry, he said. And then he began saying that when devotees come in the Krishna consciousness movement, when they are very young, in the first year, second year, they are very enthusiastic. They chant, they dance, they read books, they are jubilant. And then as the years pass by, gradually their interest fades away, huh? It dwindles. And then gradually they take off from association, they reduce their visits to the programs, to the festivals, and they started remaining aloof. In this way, gradually they reduce and reduce and reduce and practically give up Krishna consciousness. Or even if they don't give up Krishna consciousness, they become stagnant. And they just do the barest minimum possible to be some kind of devotee. Pulling on. So he was telling, this is our sorry state of affairs. So he said, Prabhupada would never be pleased with this. So this is the painful dose that I wanted to give you, he said. So he was telling, when the plant is put in the ground, sometimes the plant grows very fast, outwardly big, but the roots have not gone deeper. So sometimes that is the condition of a devotee. That externally a devotee may occupy fame, name, position, and we may get so many things. But within our heart, if we don't go dive deeper to understand our own weaknesses, and what are the things that we have to grow, how we have to develop in spiritual life. If our roots don't grow deep, then the tree cannot be strong. When heavy storm comes, the tree will become uprooted. So that danger is there. So he was telling how important it is to read Prabhupada books regularly, and how important it is to remind one another about Krishna. He said that even after you spend 10 years, 20 years, you should remain an innocent, simple devotee. And reminding one another of Krishna. Not that, okay, now we have spent 5 years now we have spoken about Krishna enough too much. Now let's be a little different. No. Because over the years, people lose interest to dance. People lose interest to talk about Krishna. Mostly they talk about the problems. One devotee was telling how, like in a guru's room, outside the door, some disciple had written, he had written marriage problems, financial problems, stress problems, you know, job problems. So he had written all these things, all big, big letters, and finally it was written, spiritual problems, it was written. So generally, people, these problems become much bigger in our life than our spiritual pursuit. How many of you agree with me, what I'm saying? Yes? Isn't it? You can see that. So these are problems in life, we cannot deny that. But we have to have such good friends, Krishna conscious friends, who remind us of Krishna so well. And we have to also become such friends to others. So by that, what will happen? Then all these problems will become more and more and more tiny. Will become smaller and smaller. Because they will happen by of their own accord, you will see that. They won't be very big problems. When spiritual life is minimized, and other problems become huge in magnitude. And when Krishna consciousness is performed with utmost seriousness and intensity, then the other problems become trivial and puny. This is a practical realization one can get in life. Anybody has experience of this? Anybody? Yeah, yes. One Prabhuji, one Mataji we will take. Who is the Mataji? Okay, so one Prabhuji, one Mataji. Yes, Prabhu. Just say explanation. How by practicing Krishna consciousness seriously, problems in our life became puny? Or how when you become slack in Krishna consciousness, the problems appear to be huge? You had given an example for them. Is that ready?
Actually, it's not my own example, it's what Niranjan Maharaj gave in Sunday Bhagavatam this time in Gopinath. He was telling the same point. And he was giving an example, so I'm just quoting that example, it's appropriate here. He was telling that if one has Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you know, that means if one is properly situated in spiritual life, then, you know, even big things, problems, you know, become very, very puny. But if one does not have the mercy of the Lord, then even small problems appear very huge. So for that he was giving an example. He was saying how in the initial days when he had come to the moment, so he was given the job of cleaning the temple. He was telling that when he and his friends at that time, when they were cleaning temple, he said that though cleaning temple is such a small thing, but it was seeming such a big problem because they were not able to relate so much to the philosopher, they were not able to understand. They had too many doubts initial days. So they were finding everything a question. So even doing one small thing like cleaning the temple, they found it very, very difficult. But he was saying that the same devotees at a later stage, you know, when they were very, very fixed up and, you know, when they grew a lot in Krishna consciousness, even big, big mountain-like services they could easily cross over. They could, you know, big, big problems they came in their life they could do. But if that is not there, even to do a small thing like cleaning even becomes a big problem.
Initially, when we are new in Krishna consciousness, then all our problems seem bigger. But then when we are fixed in philosophy, we think of Krishna's lotus feet and we remember the philosophy, we remember that in practical, in this material world, practically all the problems will always be there. And then we just tolerate it. We don't think that it's a big thing. We feel, okay, this world is like this only and this is not where we have to stay. So with that consciousness, the problem becomes very small.
As you said, have you realized anything? I have realized many things practically, but one recent example I would like to give. Like earlier, when 3-4 years back, when I changed my college, I was discussing once with Jayadev Prabhu that should we read in office Bhagavatam and all other books. So he said, yes, you can go and read, no problem. But I said, I am still feeling guilty that I am using college time for reading such things. Jayadev Prabhu told me that one day will come that you won't be feeling guilty about it. And that is a better use of the time. So now I have noticed that last 2.5 months I am practically 2-3 hours using. I am, so I finished 3 cantos of Bhagavatam in the college.
But you all should remember that he got the best teacher award, Prabhuji. So only the best teacher award person can read like that, huh? Otherwise, if you don't prepare for your college subjects, you will be in trouble. You can't go to your class and speak Bhagavatam. But he is a well-prepared man. So he can do that. So we got very nice examples now. So we need such friends. Like we say, a friend in need is a friend indeed, we say. I heard there was some accident that took place where 2-3 ladies were traveling in a vehicle and it was a terrible accident. They were all thrown off the vehicle and they were fallen on the ground. And their actually bodies were torn at different places and some of the inside parts of the body had even come out also. Many of them were almost dead. So one of the Matajis was lightly wounded while the other Mataji was terribly wounded. And she was profusely bleeding from the mouth and from different parts of the body like that. But that Mataji, when she was lying, just before she was about to die, she was shouting to the other Mataji who was not so wounded. She was shouting to her, "Chant Hare Krishna." She was shouting at her. Because she was afraid that she might die. So she didn't even think about herself. She told her that, "Chant Hare Krishna, please don't forget Krishna, chant Hare Krishna," she was telling. Immediately, some vehicle came and put them all and took them to hospital. Practically months together they were in hospital. And every one of them was saved. None of them died from that. So they related their experience. They said that when they were lying wounded like that, when they had fallen on the ground, there were hard rocks, sharp rocks on which they had fallen. And different parts of their body was torn and all. They thought that now we are gone. We are finished now. We are going to die. So they were trying to chant Hare Krishna, but Hare Krishna would not come from their mouth because it was a terrible accident. But they could see clearly the whole Hare Krishna Mahamantra displayed in front of their eyes. It was like a neon bulb, you know. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the one of the Mataji said, Hare would be lit up with neon and then Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. So she saw with her eyes, clearly she could see. She said, I don't know how I survived, she said. But even if I died, I would not have bothered, she said. I would have died a very happy death. Because I could clearly remember Krishna when I was about to pass away. So, actually a real friend is one who reminds the other person of Krishna. He is a real friend.
So that's why a devotee is called as a Maitra.
He also says Karuna. Karuna means compassionate. And devotee is also called as compassionate. So just as the Lord is compassionate, the devotee is also compassionate. Devotee actually gets these qualities from the Lord. The Lord originally possesses all these qualities in oceanic quantity. You know, when Gajendra is offering the prayer about the Lord, he says, "Oh my dear Lord, you are the most compassionate. Because you never get tired in trying to get the jiva back to the spiritual world. You are always escorting the jivatma from one body to another body. In any body he goes, he may go to the worm's body or a dog's body, cat's body. You always accompany the soul. And in every lifetime you are patiently watching, when is he going to turn to me? So you are extremely compassionate. Like a mother feeding medicine to the child who throws away the medicine. Like that you are always very compassionate. So Lord's compassion can be seen in one of the pastimes when
Vishwapitama is suddenly shot by arrow and is lying in the arrow pit. In fact, the whole war has stopped.
Because you know, Vishwapitama was such a great personality that the war was stopped just for all the people to come and assemble and see him lying in the arrow bed. It appeared as if some great demigod had fallen from heaven. So he was lying in the arrow bed. So Lord Krishna, along with other Pandavas, he comes to see Bhishma. So when Lord Krishna observed his own great devotee Bhishma lying like that, all different parts of his body pierced by the arrows and blood coming out from his body. So Krishna's eyes started welling up with tears. So Lord just came and stood in front of him. At that time, Bhishma was greatly hankering to meet the Lord because he thought that now my death is going to come any time. And I want to see that beautiful face of Krishna. So he was very much hankering, and at the right time the Lord comes in front of him and gives his beautiful darshan. So Bhishma also starts weeping and tears are gliding down his cheeks. Now the Lord is weeping, Bhishma is weeping, and nobody can understand why both these personalities are weeping. And they have an eternal relationship in the spiritual sky. So when Bhishma saw the Lord appearing in front of him, he wanted to thank the Lord for kindly appearing even without being called. Nobody went to call Krishna. Krishna himself came. In fact, Bhishma in his talk, he says, the Lord has appeared in front of me knowing well that I am his unflinching servitor. So the Lord has appeared in front of me, he says that. So when he saw the Lord, he felt so joyful that instead of, he even forgot himself, Bhishma forgot even himself also, who he was. And in that great moment of joy, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna, he offered obeisances to Krishna's compassionate nature towards his devotees. That is why devotees always glorify Krishna's compassionate nature. And that Krishna's compassionate nature appears as Srimati Radharani. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach. But he has a very compassionate nature which he cannot hide, which appears as Srimati Radharani. So that is why when one approaches Srimati Radharani, one can very easily attain Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, when we call, we are actually invoking the compassionate nature of Krishna, by which you can very easily attain Krishna. Just like when you bow down to someone, when you bow at their feet, if you bow down to elders, even if they are karmis, even if they are middle aged people, say one of you, go to your mother and father and you bow down. By doing different activities, you invoke different emotions in a person. For example, while talking to a person, you show your ego and you raise your nose like this. What emotion you will invoke in them? Anger, immediately. Immediately you will become angry. Similarly, when you bow down to them, put your head at their feet, what emotion you will invoke? Immediately they will feel very good in their heart. Immediately you are invoking the compassion element from the heart. Immediately good wishes in their heart will start overflowing, and they will heartily wish well for you. That is why now the more and more researchers, scientists are doing, they are finding out how the emotions have power, how the thoughts have power. Like for example, if you bow down to someone and they wish well for you and they don't even tell you externally, and that wishing well has an influence on you. That wishing well has influence on you. Similarly, if you bow down to them, even if you are very egoistic, by bowing down to them and looking at their feet, and your pride goes away. So these are all subtle things that happen on a subtle platform when one performs different kind of activities. We can see that. Similarly, one can evoke the compassion of the Lord. Like Lord is compassionate, devotee is also very, very compassionate. You can see how Shivanand Sen delivered that dog. He took compassion on that dog. Because the dog was following the Vaishnavas. Wherever the Vaishnavas were going, the dog was following. So Shivanand Sen noticed it. So, seeing, taking note of that, he started taking care of the dog, feeding prasadam. At last the dog went back home, back to Godhead. The dog was following the Vaishnavas. One time in America, Prabhupada was walking with his disciples. There was a dog also following, like that. The Vaishnavas, wherever they went, the dog was following. So in one of the lectures, Prabhupada is saying, so when we were walking today, you all, did you observe? There was a dog which was walking with us. And the dog was thinking, Prabhupada says, as if he has understood the mind of the dog. The dog was thinking, here are the Vaishnavas. If I just follow them, you know, I can get some prasadam, and in the next life I can get a human body. So he was following us. And then Prabhupada had told the devotees to feed some prasadam. So Vaishnava is not only compassionate, even only to humans, even to animals, what to speak of humans. So karuna means we should be able to overlook the apparent faults in others owing to overwhelming compassion. When compassion is overwhelming, one can very easily put aside the faults that are prominently seen by others. Because everyone in this world is having many, many faults. But if one has overwhelming compassion, one can actually overlook the faults and offer Krishna consciousness to a person. And we can see that in Srila Prabhupada, how when Prabhupada went to the West, Prabhupada saw people. In fact, Prabhupada was faced with insults, sometimes robbery by people. Somebody stole his typewriter. Somebody in fact threatened him that they will murder him. Like one of the drug addicted person even threatened Prabhupada that he will kill him. Like that. And Prabhupada had to be surrounded by people who are sex mongers and meat eaters and hippies and uncultured, unsophisticated people. People who are all the who were covered with all kinds of vices, and Prabhupada was actually trying to find out the small spark of Krishna consciousness they had, attraction for Krishna, and I was trying to fan that. And you know, it's like, you know, 1% and 99%. 1% Krishna consciousness, 99% problems. I was to fan that 1% and make it into a big fire. Whereas, you know, when we find some small fault in a devotee, we magnify that and become too critical about it. Actually, I am telling it because I myself have done that. I am telling you. Because, you know, we all commit mistakes and we learn from our mistakes. Is it true or not, isn't it? Sometimes a small mistake, you know, it is so glaring. Just like what Durva Sumadhi did, isn't it? What did Ambarish Maharaj do? He didn't do anything big wrong. He just drank some charanamrit. But he took that small mistake, it's not even a mistake, but he thought it's a mistake. And he magnified it and he wanted to destroy him. So that is not a sign of compassion. Compassion means one should be able to overlook the apparent faults and be able to administer Krishna consciousness to the other person. That is compassion, karuna. One's heart feels that kind of karuna to this karuna. So we are not compassionate. We don't have so much compassion, especially in our state of Krishna consciousness. But fortunately we are connected to a compassionate mission. Headed by a compassionate acharya. So by working for a compassionate mission, we can also exhibit compassion even if we don't have it. By working on behalf of that mission. Isn't it? Just like sometimes when there is a big epidemic, you know, everyone is given some injection. So even if you help in getting some hot water, getting some cotton, you know, you are a part of that health service, and you also become part of that mission. Similarly, we can also be a part of Prabhupada's preaching mission. So even if we don't have compassion, if we by being a part of it and doing a little bit of seva, then we also become fortunate to be a part of compassionate mission. Like that. And he says nirmamo nirahankara, these two qualities. Which is actually humility. Nirmama means. Mama means mine. Nirmama means not mine.
निराहंकार विदाउट निराहंकार।
सो 13 चैप्टर 8 to 12 लॉर्ड कृष्णा सेज इज़ इट अमानित्वम नॉलेज गिविंग डेफिनेशन ऑफ नॉलेज अमानित्वम अदम्बित्वम अहिंसा शांतिरासिवम।
सो दैट प्रपोज इज द फर्स्ट स्टेप इन नॉलेज इज ह्यूमिलिटी
Adambitvam,
righteousness. Actually, Amani and Adambi,
the difference is
Damba is a person who does Damba with no qualification. Amani is a person who has a qualification but is not proud of it.
That is Amanitvam. He may be qualified but he is not proud of it. He knows actually everything belongs to Krishna. Amanitvam, Adambitvam. See, the beginning only Krishna says that. Like that.
So what is this
humility? Somebody can say what is this humility? How will you define humility?
He's saying
when a person feels that he is hopeless but Krishna is the only hope for me, when he feels that, you know, he is humble.
Yeah.
That is one definition of humility.
Krishna Chakur in Sharanagati is singing the song. You know, that song he says what
he is saying. So it's a very amazing song. In that song, you know this song? Maharaj Jeevan Sadapa Pirata. There are many songs in Sharanagati he sings. In one of the songs, you know what he says? My dear Lord, throughout my life, I wasted all my time in various activities, useless activities, without remembering you. And now I have come to the fag end of my life. And I am surrendering to you, not out of, you know, some kind of piety. I am not a pious person. And he says, I am a sinful rascal. I am not a pious person. In fact, he says, I struggled and struggled to enjoy my mind and senses as much as I can. But now that I am completely worn out and I have no ability to enjoy life, now I have come to the fag end when I have no hope in life. And I am coming and surrendering to you at your feet. In fact, when I felt that there is no hope, here I found some hope in you. And you have saved so many souls from this mire of material existence, fiery material world. So with that hope, I am also coming and taking your shelter, he says. So this is actually true humility, which means aware of one's precarious condition. That is one definition of humility. What he said is a good point. That means one feels a very repentant heart and one seeks forgiveness and begs Krishna for engagement in devotional service. This is the right mood of humility. That means one feels repentant for all one's bad deeds, all one's sinful activities, and one begs forgiveness for all one's activities. And not that one begs forgiveness or one is just mourning, but one is begging for engagement in devotional service. This is the right mode for humility, which actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur is exhibiting in Sharanagati prayers. Very wonderful prayer. He is saying Prabhupada showed humility. I will certainly come to Prabhupada. I am beginning with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and eventually we will talk a few examples of humility, then we will come to Prabhupada. Towards the end we talk about Prabhupada. Prabhupada is quite close as you can understand Prabhupada surely. Yeah. There are many songs. What is the song? Vardhakya Kanam. Is it that song, Bhuliya Tumhare? Bhuliya Tum. You can sing that song? We have the song with us. It's very simple meaning. If you contemplate on the meaning, you can very easily. We don't have many books. We have many books. Yeah. You can play?
भूलिया तुम्हारे संसारे आसिया पे नाना विधव्यता बोलिया तुम्हारे संसारे आसिया তোমার চরণে অতি আসিয়ানি বলিব দুঃখের কথা, তোমার চরণে অতি আসিয়ানি বলিব দুঃখের কথা। জননী ঝটার জিলাম যথান বিষমা বন্ধন পাশে, জননী ঝটার জিলাম যথান বিষমা বন্ধন পাশে। একবার প্রভু দেখিয়া মোরে পাঞ্চিলে এ দিন দাসে, একবার প্রভু দেখিয়া মোরে পাঞ্চিলে এ দিন দাসে। কখন ভাবিন জন্ম পাইয়া করিব ভজন তব, কখন ভাবিন করিব ভজন তব, জনম হইল পড়ি মায়া জালে না হইল জ্ঞান লব, আদরে রচলে স্বপ্ন রকলে হাসিয়া কাটানো কাল, চলে সদরে রকলে কাটানো কাল, জনক জননী স্নেহেতে ভুলিয়া সংসার লাগিল ভার, জনক জননী স্নেহেতে ভুলিয়া সংসার লাগিল ভার, তমে দিন দিন ভালত হইয়া খেলিন বালক সহ, তবে দিলে দিলে বালক সহ, আর কিছু দিনে জানব পাজিল পাত পড়িয়া হর, আর কিছু দিনে পাত পড়িয়া বিচার গৌরব প্রাণ দেশে দেশে ধন উপার্জন করি, বিচার গৌরব ধন উপার্জন করি, স্বজন পালন করি একমানে ভুলিন তোমারে হরি, স্বজন পালন করি একমানে ভুলিন তোমার হরি, বাজপে থর ভক্তি বিনোদ কান্দিয়া কাতরতি, বাজপে থর ভক্তি বিনোদ ভজিয়া তোরে দিন বৃথা গেলো
ekhana ki rave gati avajya tore una vrtha gelo ekhana ki rave gati avajya tore una vrtha gelo ekhana ki rave gati भजया तोरे तेना वृथा गेलो एखना की हवे गती भोलिया तुमाने संसारे आसिया पेये नाना विधा व्यथा भोलिया तुमारे संसारे आसिया তোমার চরণে আসিয়াছিয়ানি বলিব দুঃখের কথা তোমার চরণে আসিয়াছিয়ানি বলিব দুঃখের কথা বলিব দুঃখের কথা So in a sense, in this song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks how every one of us in our lives, how did we spend our whole life? He's giving like a, what do you call it? In a cinema sometimes they show you a very fast relay. Fast relay? Trailer? Trailer is it? Not trailer, no? Flashback, is it? Yeah. Suddenly he's doing a flashback for our benefit. Not from his life actually, from our own life, from all of our lives. So he's telling how in our childhood, how we while away our time in playing, what do you call this? You play this or you, you know, jump with one leg, although God has given us two legs. Spend our time in different types of games. Then we grow up and then we spend our time in acquiring worldly knowledge. After getting knowledge, we go out for earning more and more money. Hori ekamane. Ekamane means with a fixed attention, we do our worldly duties faithfully, ignoring Lord Hari. He's saying. Without bothering about death, without worrying that the old age will come, death will come. And this way, how one spends all his life in vain, without pursuing his actual spiritual path, which is actually the progressive path of the soul. One is forgetful. So in old age, he says, it's a lamentation of every old person who has not performed Krishna consciousness throughout his life. So portraying the plight of a conditioned soul who in his old age is about to die in disappointment. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is portraying the life of such a person for our benefit. So this is actually humility when a devotee is actually begging for forgiveness and seeking engagement in Krishna service. So understanding one's precarious position, also understanding one's insignificant position is also called as humility. In Bible there is a statement, only the meek and humble can inherit the kingdom of God, it is said. Only the meek and humble can inherit the kingdom of God, not the proud and arrogant. They cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Actually, humility comes when one understands that Lord is the ultimate shelter in this world. When one comes to that realization, then the humility comes. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives one definition of humility. He says, not expecting anything from anybody. He says, that is humility, he says. Not expecting anything from anybody. How many of us here can say that we have no expectations from anybody? Okay, not anybody. We have no expectations at least from a few people. Can you say that? We have actual expectations from everybody. You can see that. Like you take a housewife and ask whether she has any expectations from her husband, children or mother, father. Similarly, I ask a man at home whether he has any expectations from wife, children, his mother, father. No? Really? That's very great. Then you are a great soul. Actually, sometimes we don't have any expectations because we go to a point of frustration. We know that we can't have any expectations. That is like the story of the fox and the sour grapes. No? Actually, the material world is so designed, it brings us to that point slowly. That's the realization. But in general, we all have expectations. We cannot deny that. You will see that, you know, father and mother, they tell the children what they should be doing, how they should be doing, you know, where they should be going, where they should not be going, and, you know, right from childhood, you know, they keep showing their hand like that. And often they find that when the child grows beyond the shoulder, we have no control. Similarly, we can see mother-in-law, father-in-law, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, within a home, we can see everyone has big, big expectations. And everyone wants others to fulfill. And these are the expectations which are the cause of frustration. Hankering, lamentation and frustration arise from these things only. Yeah. So if one is actually humble, one will be able to see Krishna's hand in everything. One will know that actually everything that is happening in my life is orchestrated by Krishna. And He knows what is best for me. And I don't have to complain about anything. I don't have to report about anything. Everything is happening for my good. Prabhupada says in this purport, Prabhupada quotes it. And He says how a devotee always is in this mood that any mishap happens in my life that is owing to my own past bad karma. Actually, this Satyana Kampam verse gives so many lessons. A devotee feels that I deserve much, much more. What Krishna has given me, punishment is very little. It's a token punishment, he feels that. And when Krishna gives something wonderful, what he thinks? I don't deserve this. It's some inconceivable mercy. So Krishna wants to encourage me. He feels like that. So these are actually some of the aspects of humility. So humility also means, Prabhupada defines in Bhagavad Gita, in that Amanitam Arambitvam, he says, humility means not anxious to be honored by others. Not anxious to be honored by others. That's also another definition of humility. So these are many definitions. So we will do a small exercise. You all can pair up with one of your friends in the neighborhood. And what you can tell your friend is, so you have to tell two situations. One is, in which situation you did not behave humbly. That means you behaved arrogantly. Or you went out of bounds. You could not exhibit humility. You can tell that instance. Then you can also tell the instance in which you behaved humbly. Like that. And in each of those instances, what was the after effect after that incident? Both you can share with your friend. You think, now what is? They have a bell? This I learnt in Mayapur now. Now it is 8:35. So we will give you, for one side we will give 5 minutes. And then after one person finishes, then the other person will get 5 more minutes. Okay? Now you can start. Pair up with one of your friends. You understood the question? The question is on humility. Tell one incident from your life, or if you are unable to remember from your life, tell from somebody's life. Where you were humble in a particular situation. And that's one. And then second is, when you are not humble. So I told you many definitions, any one of them, yeah. When you are humble, when you are not humble, two instances. Actually, we have unlimited examples from our life. So tell two of those instances. And then you also should tell how did you feel what was the after effect of these two incidents. You can tell, okay? Just start. One side you start now. Take 5 minutes, huh? Everyone got one? Now from Prabhuji's side and Mataji's side, if anybody has a very exciting example, we don't want the names and all. No. You don't have to tell who, in whose life, because you are also going to tell positive and negative, both, you know. So, you know, the humble situation and not humble situation. We would like to hear one example from Prabhuji's side, one from Mataji's side. If anybody feels it's very exciting incident or example, that you feel, you know, Your heart is swelling with joy to express it to others. Anybody has it? Shamanath Prabhu has it. Okay, Shamanath.
Hare Krishna. Both the things are there in that same. It's combined together. So, means total incidence is combined together. So, you can just judge it. This incident happened about two, three days back when there was Jagannath Mishra festival at our temple. And I was used to give a duty of controlling the crowd for honoring, getting prasadam. And I was trying to do that. Cake was brought for distribution, which was not given on the previous day because of fasting. So all the devotees were sitting for honoring prasadam. And I announced that it's a good news that you come and collect your cake prasad from the counter. So many devotees came and just gathered together. So I controlled them and requested them to be in the line. In the meanwhile, one of the devotees, he came and just tried to take the cake directly by his hand from the plate. So I objected, but I couldn't tell him properly in humility. My anger had gone quite strongly because I was telling others and a devotee is doing like that, so I couldn't tolerate that. Actually, I should have tolerated and told him in proper way, but I couldn't do that. That night, whole night, I couldn't sleep because later I found my fault and no sleep for me whole the night. Next day morning, even chanting, I couldn't control myself. That was Sunday program. So after coming to the temple, I immediately met that person, that devotee, and held his feet. And then only I got my whole thing settled.
Actually, that is not my example, but I heard from the devotees. Actually, I was present in the Vyas Puja day of actually his holiness Rajanath Swami Maharaj, and one devotee was speaking about his realization. That actually one devotee stays, actually his name I don't know, but he stays in Borivali, and his some tenants actually was giving so much problem to him, especially the wife of the tenant. And one day actually in the parking space of his building, actually car was standing, and it was actually standing like something actually in the middle of parking. And that wife came and she broke the all the mirrors of cars and all the glasses of car. And actually that news went to that the devotee, and all the devotee members, the family members of devotee were shouting, we should not leave him like this. We should call the police. We should take some concrete action. And that devotee was something bubbling up. Oh, I should do some action. But for a while, he just thought how the Maharaj will react in this adverse situation. So he thought for a while what will the Maharaj's ideal behavior for this. So he thought and he came down, and he just humbly prayed to something and he just gave his wonderful smile and he just went. And after that he begged forgiveness for this also. And after he went, and after 5 minutes after that tenants came to him and asked for forgiveness, that my wife is something troublesome every time.
So he was telling them that I'm sorry for parking the car in the wrong place. So he never spoke a word about breaking of the glass or turning away the side glass and anything. He just said that I'm sorry for parking in the wrong place, as if he deserves that punishment. So when that owner of the parking place saw, he said, I'm very sorry for my wife's behavior, but I want to give you compensation for whatever you're doing. You repair the car and I'll give you compensation, he said. And he gave it also later. So humility is rewarded, huh? And then Mataji said, who would like to speak? We can have two examples, one for each. I want to give opportunity to four people, totally. Now these two are powerful examples, isn't it? So Mataji's hand was up, isn't it? Whose hand was up? All are shy, I think. There you go, you can invite two Mataji.
I would like to tell example of our beloved Mataji. Before 2-3 years back, on 24 February 2002, she had an accident on Pune Yatra's last day, that was, and she had accident, and she was taken to hospital, and after few hours we rushed to that hospital. Actually she was unconscious, and that time also she was chanting Krishna Krishna Krishna. She was unconscious, fully unconscious. Doctor was stitching her, and all blood was flowing, and we were shocked. In this situation also she can remember Krishna's name. I think this is a good example of how
Actually, we do this exercise, although I could not give opportunity to every one of you to speak, and I would love to hear from every one of you, because devotees are available realizations, they teach so many good lessons for us. That is the meaning of Guhyamakyati Prichati, when we say. Guhyamakyati Prichati means from devotee's life, this is all the realization. When is the situation when you are humble, when you are not humble, how you... Of course, in a public assembly like this, nobody will want to say, how we were not humble. It's very difficult to openly say, because we know that others will think we are not so advanced, It's a little difficult. So, we don't have to also publicly say, but occasionally amongst friends we can say. That's why we were firing up and we were talking. So, what we want to derive from this analysis is this. When you don't behave humbly, what are the after effects? One after effect Prabhuji himself said. So dramatically he explained that situation. I like this kind of personal life examples very much, because it really touches our heart. Like she also said one practical real life situation she talked about. It's not from the papers of the Shastra, but from the life of a devotee who is living. So that becomes very, very practical. So when we are not humble, what are the disadvantages of not being humble? Who can say? Many disadvantages we have by not being humble. Yes, Mudanko? We lose our temper. Yeah? We create enemies. We could have brought someone closer to Krishna, but by seeing us, the person goes far away from Krishna because of us. So we become an instrument. We do disservice instead of service. Our spiritual life gets a setback, he is saying. Very good. Our spiritual life gets a setback. Yeah. We become dry in heart. We become hard-hearted. Very good. Is it a good thing? We become hard-hearted. Yeah. may become others also. We make others also lose humility. He's saying not only we lose, they also lose humility. In the buses you have seen, two people start, no? Brr, 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 it keeps building up, you know, like that. We make others also lose humility, yeah. He's saying our realization, which we have been having, actually fall down from our realization platform, isn't it? Which we have been having before, now we fall down from the platform. We feel guilty consciousness, yeah? We try to forget Krishna as the center and put ourselves in the center. That is the concluding point, which we will tell later, yeah? Yeah? Words once spoken cannot be taken back. Impressions remain? As it is for a very long period of time. Actually, what he is saying is actually there in the Shastra also. Shastra say, broken heart is like a broken pot. It's very difficult to reassemble again. Even if you reassemble, still there will be leaks. It's very difficult. So breaking heart is very easy, by not behaving humbly. Very good. Very nice point. Yes, Prabhu. Who? The person becomes very irritant. And he becomes very reactive. And the whole atmosphere becomes very insecure and dangerous for all. Like that. Yes, so? We can even get into trouble in such a manner that somebody may even slap us or beat us up. We made more troubles, And in conclusion, he made a nice point, Prabhuji. He said, although we all know, now probably you all gave me almost 2 dozen disadvantages of being not humble. But even after we know all these things, can we all say that now we have come to the realization that I will always be humble? Still somehow we lack humility. But he is saying that, once we lacked the humility, we realized it. So what we do? So we should try to learn good lessons from it. So next time we try to be humble. Actually, humble also means, not humble also means bragging about oneself. That is also not humble. So devotees are never like someone who is bragging about oneself, trying to impress others, trying to prove oneself to be great. So all these qualities will not be liked by other devotees. And you try to brag about yourself, when others are gone, how do you feel in the heart? You feel very, very empty. Or sometimes you tell some lies to others, to show that you are very great. And when they are not there, how do you feel? You feel very, very fearful. You feel guilty in the heart, Heavy, very heavy in the heart. Memory is not clear. We make wrong decisions also. That's very true. So lack of humility leads to varieties of problems. On the other hand, we didn't discuss on when you are behaving humbly, even in adverse situations, how do you feel? Actually, I am very sure you all must have behaved humbly in some situation or the other. But you may be a little shy to express it. Because you may feel that, others will think I am very proud of my humility, Wouldn't you be ready to express? Our husbands can say how their wives are humble, and wives can say how their husbands are humble. That's a good idea, isn't it? When you are humble, you feel very secure and protected. Yes, Maji? Your example? Anyway, humility certainly gives you a tremendous sense of worth inside. It makes you feel very good about yourself. See, this feeling good about oneself is not in the derogatory sense. It is in the good sense. As souls, all of us in our heart, actually, we are like children. You feel pure, innocent and pristine in your heart when you behave humbly. You will see that. When you are genuine, when you are speaking with an attitude of humility. Actually, in Vaishnava land, we are taught. Like, for example, in my life, I learnt a little bit of good behavior when I first met Devamrita Prabhu. One of the influences of learning spirituality from a preacher is that you also, get some of their body language, some of their natures. You actually borrow it from the one who cultivates you. You will always see that. many times you see that the person who preaches, the other people actually learn certain, you know, externals also from that. Mannerisms and many things you learn like that. So, over the years I didn't notice, but later I realized that many a times the way I talk to the boys, the way I deal with people, actually many a times I have borrowed some of the things from other seniors with whom I associated. That means this is a subtle way we give the types of behavior to the people to whom we preach. Also, yeah. Like, you know, like our spiritual master is very humble, then we learn humility from him. You know. Actually, of course, we can learn. We have to be a proper receptacle for learning that humility. When we are learning that humility. But not the content of what he...
Who is preaching? For example, if we are preaching and we are attending a class, so we are likely to pick up your mannerism.
That's very dangerous, eh? But I thought you all will take some Jerepu Sattit Mataji. You will be saved.
We tend to take things from a person who we are listening to many times, rather than
He is saying many times we tend to take things from a person whom we are listening from than the person with whom we are associating with. Actually, I don't distinguish between the two. Actually, association means transformation of heart. That's the meaning. And transformation of heart actually comes by listening. And when we say preaching, preaching is not only speaking. Preaching is through speaking as well as behavior also. Practical behavior, Vaishnava behavior, which they show, that is also actually practical teaching. So by observation and by hearing, both we learn. Both ways we learn, yeah. So it's very important to... So he is talking about this kind of nirmamo, nirahankara. And without this quality, we can practically see. So we can see many shastric examples of personalities who are very humble. You know Sanatana Goswami? With whom? He says that Krishna consciousness is so great that we ourselves feel very insignificant, isn't it? If you say like that? So we will feel ourselves very insignificant and we feel humble like that. Then you have broader vision. Yeah, if you have broader vision. Yeah. But I feel still after many years also it is still difficult for us to be humble. I feel. Probably humility and tolerance, I feel, are in my highest pedestal. Probably in my last breath, I may be able to achieve a iota of it, small drop of it. Humility and tolerance, I feel, these two are the crustigial qualities, most difficult to be achieved in the whole world. Because even if we are humble, we feel that another time we are not humble. And sometimes we are tolerant, another time we are not tolerant, actually.
Selective.
We are selective also, yeah. Correct. Prabhuji is saying that the ego sometimes surfaces. We see that sometimes we are remembering the instructions of the spiritual master, we are humble, other times we are not. So that is the stage of anartha nivritti. You know, anartha nivritti means anarthas come and they go down, again they come, again they go down. Once you go beyond the stages, we will come to a stage of, you know, consistent humility and consistent tolerance in all situations, wherever we are put in. Yeah.
The more we become humble and humble, the happiness increases, but the simultaneous positive also increases that I have become a humble person. I am a humble devotee.
That is the trick of Maya. He is saying when you become humble, you feel very happy within, and simultaneously the positive also increases that I am becoming more and more humble. That's a trick of Maya. Maya will, when you're becoming more and more humble, then she is in trouble because you are escaping from her clutches. So she has to again make you proud of your humility. So that is the subtlest thing that one has to overcome. Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, when we talk about humility, sometimes to react in certain situations, we learn from the experience, but internally we are agitated.
Actually, I didn't talk about this tolerance. I think it's coming a little later. He is saying that sometimes we are externally humble, but internally we are fuming. Huh? So that we will talk about it in Titiksha. We will talk about tolerance. That time we will talk. Actual Titiksha means internally also one should not harbor any grudges. Actual Titiksha means one should not have. Yeah. Later we blow up. Builds up. That's true. Yeah. But I'm sure talking about it openly to one of our friends like we did today, it helps us to sometimes take a look at ourselves, who we are and what qualities we have. But this is a very important quality even in chanting also. In chanting of Hare Krishna, this humility and tolerance, these two qualities are very important. So I will conclude with two, three examples which immediately come to my mind. You know, Sanatana Goswami, when he was living in Jagannath Puri, he was going through the beach, you know, there was hot sand on the beach, he was walking through that. And when he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu asked him, how did you arrive here? He said, I came through the seashore. Because, you know, there are so many pujaris who are serving in Jagannath temple. So by mistake, my miniature body should not be touched by them. And they become contaminated because of me. So keeping that in mind, I came through the seashore. And of course, the price that he had to pay for walking through the shore of the ocean was that he got blisters, hot blisters all over his leg. But although he had to pay this price, the result, what was the ultimate result? Lord Chaitanya, actually he did not feel any pain, although he got blisters in the leg. That's the beauty, because he was constantly thinking that I'm going to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the prize that Mahaprabhu gave him was that he gave a great embrace to Sanatana Goswami and gave him blessings like that for his great humility. And Sanatana Goswami's humility, Mahaprabhu says that he breaks his heart, he says. Because Sanatana, once in one of his talks, you know, he's wearing clumps of grass on his teeth and falling at the feet, and he's saying, you know, Keyami, Kenayama, Yare Tapatra, and then he says that some people treat me like a great Pandit, learned scholar, you know, but I am such a fool that I am thinking I am a Pandit. Isn't it? I am most fallen. We are even most fallen than Jaga and Madai, they say. Because, you know, Jaga and Madai never served Mlecha Raja. They never served Mlecha Raja like Nawab Hussain Shah. And we have been serving. So we are even worse than them, they say. Actually, we have heard these things, but somehow these things don't sink in our heart unless we are ourselves put in a situation where you are forced to become humble sometimes. Sometimes when you are forced to become humble, your heart will become soft. You will see that. Your heart becomes soft when you are defeated. So every one of us, at some occasion or the other, will be defeated by the material nature. Actually, this is a very big word to speak about. When you say defeated by material nature, one example of being defeated by material nature is, when a man grows old, he gets, say, uremia disease. He cannot pass urine. So the urine has to be removed with the injection from the bladder. What a horrible situation can you think of? That one is unable to pass urine from his own body. So defeated by the material nature. One example. Generally, we are defeated by material nature sometimes because you are called to be someone who is incompetent in some field. In your own field, somebody calls you as incompetent. How do you feel? Do you feel nice? Immediately you feel insecure and you feel lightness. And somebody says that, you know, you don't have the ability to do this, then you immediately feel very soft and hard. So we will all be defeated in our life at some time or the other, and we will feel humbled by material nature in various ways. The material nature is so designed in a complex way that we all will be defeated in different situations at different times. And what should one do when one is defeated in such a situation? See, every one of us are defeated in some time or the other, isn't it? But what should one do when one is humbled like that? One should take shelter of Krishna at such a time. Like, you know, Dhruva Maharaj was humbled, such a great soul. When the Yakshas were throwing all kinds of nasty things from the sky, and they almost submerged him. So he was like a sun surrounded by the clouds. So at that time he took shelter of the Lord by chanting the holy names like that. Sometimes even great personalities may be humbled. Like, we find so many examples of great personalities sometimes humble. So we are very, very tiny in our life. So either we become humble and we become eligible to enter the kingdom of God, or we stand erect and we don't agree to become humble, and then we become defeated by material nature and then we become humble. We have the choice. Huh? He's saying very good relaxation. He's saying either you become humble or you become humbled humble. You understand the term humbled humble? Anybody can explain this humbled humble? You understand? It is forced to become humble. Yeah. Either you now only hear the theory, understand that better be humble now, or we'll be humbled by material nature and then we become humble. That is humbled humble. Yeah. It's very true. Yeah. That's true. Everyone faces that. So we can give many, many examples for humility, which I am not going to repeat, because you all have heard of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was humble in Prakashana Saraswati Sabha, you know, when he went to Varanasi. You know. Mahaprabhu shows humility even in front of Ishwarapuri also. We can show examples of Prataprudra being humble. Prataprudra's humility. He said if he has to meet Lord Chaitanya, he was ready to wear the dress of a mendicant and go, leave everything and go. So, I didn't take many Shastra examples today. And we took practical examples from our own lives, because I thought it is worthy for us to think at our own feet, in our own lives. It would be more practical to think about this quality, which is very vital for spiritual advancement. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.